Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1973 with a release date of Friday, August 21st, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Rockwell Collins mechanical filters are about to become a thing of the past. In Mississippi, a hospital system decides ham radio can be the best medicine for getting emergency messages through. Summer school ends for public school teachers of radio science, just in time for regular back-to-school business. And we revisit the Huntsville Ham Fest one more time, celebrating the accomplishments of Anna Veal, WZERO-ANT. Our first, Bill Pasternak, Young Ham of the Year. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1973 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
First, breaking news. Fire swept through the Colorado home of well-known contester Chuck Killian, K0RF, Tuesday, August 18th, gutting the home and leaving the Boulder County radio amateur and his family homeless. Local media accounts and the Boulder County Sheriff's Office reported that the damage was extensive, but no injuries were reported. A fellow ham, George Schultz, W0UA, told the ARRL that he's operated often from Cullian Shack, which occupies two bays of the ranch-style home's six-bay garage. He said fire officials believe the blaze originated in the laundry room, possibly the clothes dryer. Latest report said that the Red Cross was assisting the family in finding temporary shelter. For many radio amateurs, it's the end of an era. Rockwell Collins, which designed and manufactured mechanical filters for more than two generations of hams, has discontinued the filter production. The company posted on its website, "Over the past several years, we've seen a dramatic reduction in demand for narrowband analog filters. Due to this and other economic reasons, Filter Products will be discontinuing its mechanical filter products in the near future." The company acknowledged that the filters have been eclipsed by digital signal processing, and this was a significant factor in its decision. Highly popular mainstays for many hams, the mechanical filters were valued for being able to achieve bandwidths of between 0.5% and 5%, with input and output transducers converting the electrical signal to and from mechanical vibrations. Rockwell Collins has not yet announced a date for the final production run. A Mississippi hospital administrator has come to believe that the best remedy for some emergencies may well be a reliable prescription of ham radio. Harold Murphy, Assistant Safety Director for the George Regional Health System, expects to improve on the hospital system's emergency responsibilities by tapping into radio communications. The system operates two hospitals, two nursing homes, and a number of medical clinics and other health-related centers. Murphy's extensive career as a safety professional, both in hospitals and as a volunteer firefighter, has landed him in the thick of earthquakes, mudslides, ice storms, and tornadoes. His skills were especially tested recently in Hurricanes Katrina and Ivan. He said, "Throughout all of my experiences, one thing stands out, the integral piece in the response process, communication." Toward that end, Murphy has thrown himself wholeheartedly into his new management strategy. This past spring, he got his technician's license, then wasted no time upgrading to general class. He's still studying and hopes to pass his next test no later than December. The Wireless Institute of Australia is advising applicants who are awaiting reciprocal license recognition to wait just a little bit longer. The Institute put all applications on hold earlier this year, pending a review process. They're now anticipating word soon from the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which needs to issue its findings on the review process. The Institute recently said progress was being made, stressing that these reciprocal licenses are different from the free visitors' licenses that are issued to permit amateurs visiting Australia to operate for as long as 90 days while in the country. The Wireless Institute has said the changes are being driven by modifications of overseas standards of amateur license levels. In Ireland, radio amateurs are gearing up for Field Day, which this year offers new options for hams who'd rather not lose sleep over the contest. Instead of operating overnight, they have other options. On September 5th and September 6th, single sideband Field Day will proceed as always, but this year, hams can register for a restricted six-hour section, which the organizers hope will draw more operators. Although hams still need to register for the 24-hour open and restricted sections, the six-hour portion of Field Day does not require registration. For more details and to see the rules, visit the website at www.irts.ie/contests. For those who can't wait until Field Day, Sunday, August 30th will provide a more immediate gratification. Hams in Ireland will compete in a 2 meters county contest, which offers opportunities to operate from portable as well as fixed locations, as well as from activated locations for the Summits on the Air program. Even though it's back-to-school season for students around the country, some public school teachers and other educators return to the classroom already this summer. They enrolled in the ARRL's Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, where ARRL's team of trainers taught them how to be more effective radio science instructors for their returning young students. Let's hear from Larry Kendall, K6NDL, one of the Institute's instructors who spoke recently with Amateur Radio Newsline's Hap Holly, KC9RP, about how and why he teaches these teachers how to teach everything from robotics and electronics to satellites and weather.
The interesting part of this for me is it really is kind of refreshing and reinvigorating just in terms of my both technical skills, gives me a chance to do some things they're kind of above and beyond what I would be doing with 7th and 8th graders, for example. It really gives me a chance to reconnect with teachers. I don't have a lot of opportunities during a typical day here at school to interact with a lot of adults because I have 210 or so students. It really is a lot of fun for me. There's a financial incentive, but that's not really the main reason I do it. I do it because it kind of keeps me up to date. The best way to learn something is to have to teach it, as they say. And this gives me an opportunity to build up my own skills, my own knowledge. Needing to teach it to other people, I need to kind of overlearn it myself. Looking at exciting applications of the topics and technology, it just is kind of a win-win for me in that it's not a huge amount of time. I mean, I do spend quite a bit of time preparing, but it's all something I enjoy. I don't really see it as work per se. So just to be able to spend some time connecting with adults, that adult time is really special for me. Tack that we take on working with adults. I don't talk to them really any differently than I talk to 7th and 8th graders when I teach. I'm assuming they know nothing, not because I think they know nothing, but there's such a wide range of knowledge there that I want to make sure I cover it for everyone. And really, the important thing isn't the content, it's the presentation.
Kendall told Holly that the Institute, already planning for next year, meets the challenge of teacher enrollment by doing some effective communications of its own, this time off the air.
Each year around January, the league puts out a very nice color brochure about the teacher institutes that gives the dates and that kind of thing. As far as finding out information, we're in the process of trying to produce some materials that local radio clubs can use to promote the teacher institutes, a short video and some other things, along with the brochure, kind of give them a sense of what they can then share with their teachers. And that's what we hope some of the local clubs will do. Most of the advertising, most of the people that attend find out about it through the articles and stories and things that appear in QST that then are read by amateurs that talk it up at their local club meetings and friends that are teachers. It's kind of a word of mouth plus publications and information that goes out through the mail and through the internet.
To hear Kendall talk more about the Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, check out this week's Rain Report, available on demand from therainreport.com, via Twitter at #TheRainReport and via iTunes. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Cuyahoga Falls Amateur Radio Club repeater, W8VPV, in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Just about 1 week ago, the Huntsville Hamfest was setting records and setting the amateur radio community on course for a weekend of prizes, fellowship, forums, and yes, even a little foolishness. Huntsville lived up to its reputation, whether you were there in person or watched from afar via live webcam. One special event that's called Huntsville Home for over 20 years now is the Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award, now renamed in honor of Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. It was my very special privilege to present the 2015 award to Anna Veal, W0ANT. Now, due to an audio glitch, we don't have any of Anna's remarks, but we do have some words from our corporate sponsors, CQ Communications, Yaesu, and Radio Waves Antennas. First up, Charlie Payne from CQ.
I feel like such an underachiever. CQ's been a proud sponsor for 20 years of the Young Ham of the Year Award, and it continues that tradition of well-deserved recipients. And we're proud to give her a sponsor her for a week at Space Camp. So congratulations. That's for you. You bet.
Next up, Radio Waves.
My name is Emmett Hohensee, W0QH. I am with Radio Waves, and we are a proud sponsor of the Young Ham of the Year Award. And Anna, I have to say one thing. Keep doing what you're doing. For me, it's an encouragement to see the young people getting involved in this hobby because it's going to stay with you, and the people that you work with and the other kids that you get involved, they're going to be doing this for the rest of their life, and they'll never forget it. And it's a skill that they're going to be able to use for the rest of their life. The one thing that I know is that ham radio license is going to look good on your resume in the future. And as part of that, in our way of showing appreciation to you, we would like to present you with a Radio Waves DX80 antenna. This is going to be followed up with another commemorative antenna for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Award, because I think we pretty much decided that's what we were going to do. And so it'll be a very special edition. You're getting this now, but we're going to be sending you this very special edition, which I hope you hold on to for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
And finally, Chris Wilson from Yaesu.
Thank you, Don. And Anna, just like Emmett said, it's going to look great on your resume. I mean, not only that, the age that you did it. I'm very impressed. Learning CW, everything that you've done is very amazing. Yaesu would like to show you how amazing we think you are. I don't, unfortunately, have one here with me today, but I'd like to give you a Yaesu FT-817. And here's my business card, and this is a great contact, because Yaesu will always support you. If you need anything, support from the amateur radio community, my personal cell phone number's on there. Please give me a call any time of the day. So thank you very much for all that you've done in amateur radio.
The good news is they found an 817, so Anna went home with her radio. Next, it was my turn again, and it was emotional.
I have something for Anna, too. It's not Space Camp, and it's not a radio, and it's not an antenna. But what I have here is the... Again, we've been doing this for 30 years, but this is the very first Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. And Bill meant so much to us. And this meant so much to Bill. Congratulations. Somewhere up there, Bill is smiling. He's looking down and he's saying, "Such a fine thing." That was his thing. So thank you, Huntsville Hamfest. Thank you, everybody here, for supporting the Young Ham of the Year Award and giving us a home for the last 20 years. And we hope we never leave. So until next year, for Anna Veal and our corporate sponsors and everybody else involved with this, thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting Anna and all of this. And thank you, Huntsville, and enjoy the Hamfest. We'll see you next year.
Again, our unending thanks to corporate sponsors Yaesu, CQ, Radio Waves, and Heil Sound, and to the Huntsville Hamfest for giving us a home for the last 20-odd years. We hope to be there another 20 and beyond. Mark your calendars for the third weekend in August, and we'll introduce you to another very special young person doing amazing things with amateur radio. British radio amateurs now have a new UHF beacon to guide them. On Sunday, August 9th at 1225 UTC, GB3LEU became operational, transmitting on 432.490 MHz. The beacon near Markfield, Leicestershire, is operated by the Leicestershire Repeater Group. The beacon keeper, Jeff G3TQF, welcomes comments, reports, and suggestions from hams. The beacon was established with assistance from the Emerging Technology Coordinating Committee and the Propagation Studies Committee of the Radio Society of Great Britain. Comments can be sent via the Repeater Group's website, www.leicestershirerepeatergroup.org.uk. Election season is over in the various ARRL sections, and the office holders now have a few weeks to prepare for the start of their two-year terms on October 1st. In the Sacramento Valley section, a new manager takes office, Dr. Carol Malazzo, KP4 MD of Citrus Heights, California, who is presently assistant section manager. She was the only nominee for the position. In the Los Angeles section, David Greenhut, N6HD, was reelected 601-213 over challenger Philip A. Minch, K6MUG. Greenhut has been section manager since 2009. Other incumbents who ran unopposed will stay on as section managers. They're Mark Tharp, KB7HDX in Eastern Washington State, Monty Simpson, AF7PQ in Western Washington State, Bill Hillendahl, KH6GJV in San Francisco, Jack Siaccia, WM0G in Colorado, Gene Clark, W4AYK in Georgia, and Lee Cooper, W5LHC in South Texas. In Turkey, members of GITRAD, the Garrison Radio Amateurs, and TC SWAT, the Special Wireless Activity Team, will be on the air between August 28th and September 4th for the Victory Day celebrations, using the special call sign TC30AZB. The group will work on all HF bands on all modes. Immediately after the event, logs will be uploaded to EQSL and Logbook of the World, and the operators ask that no hard copy QSL requests be made. Victory Day on August 30th is celebrated as the final step to Turkey's modern-day independence. Aaron, VA1AXC, is staying active and on the air as CY0/VA1AXC on Sable Island until September 23rd. He's concentrating only on SSB on 20 meters. You can find him operating around 2300 UTC. QSL directly to JE1LET only. Milan, OK1DWC, is still operating from the Rarotonga Islands as E51DWC, and he plans to stay until at least through September. While working on getting RTTY in operation, Milan is active every day on SSB and CW and can be found on 160 through 10 meters. QSL information is on QRZ.com. Members of the Algerian Amateur Radio Union will be active as 7UOARU between September 1st and 30th to celebrate the creation of the Algerian Amateur Radio Union. Operators will be using CW, SSB, and digital modes on all HF bands. For information about the award, see QRZ.com and send QSL cards via SM4VPZ. And finally, despite his best intentions to operate as NH0DX from Saipan between October 24th and 25th, Koji JL3RDC has had to scrap his plans. Typhoon Sotolar, which left the area a major disaster, has collapsed the radio room Koji had planned to use. There's no other information about any alternate operation. And finally this week, since the spring, enthusiastic DXers have held out hopes of receiving the gift of a new radio frontier from Czech politician Vít Jedlička. Jedlička created a new nation on the western bank of the Danube River and named it Liberland. For hams, this is not just a new country, but perhaps a new DXCC country. Liberland is a parcel of marshy land 3 square miles in size that went unclaimed by neither of the two nearby nations of Serbia and Croatia. In April, Jedlička issued a proclamation that he, in fact, wanted the land that nobody else did and declared it a free and independent nation. He was then elected president by an overwhelming vote of 2-0. Liberland even raised its own flag, prompting amateur radio chat forums and blogs to do some flag waving of their own, urging Liberland's inclusion on the official list of DXCC nations. Now, that may take some time, of course, but DXers are ever optimistic that Liberland will see its way through the political pileup. Until then, this former no-man's land is going to remain a no-hams land, at least for now. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, DX World, GolfLive.com, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the New York Times, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Southgate Amateur Radio News, the Times Call of Colorado, TC SWAT, Twit TV, QRZ Now, the Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. You can find more information available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us, Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in South Mississippi, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.